Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad Autónoma de Canarias. Pruebas de certificación de nivel intermedio B2 de inglés. Convocatoria ordinaria de 2024. Prueba de comprensión de textos orales. Esta parte consta de 3 tareas. Escuchará cada grabación 2 veces. Escuche y lea las instrucciones al principio de cada tarea y realícela según se indica. Solo se admitirán respuestas en tinta negra o azul. Las tareas escritas a lápiz no se calificarán. No está permitido el uso del diccionario. El uso de cualquier dispositivo electrónico queda prohibido durante toda la prueba. El móvil tendrá que permanecer apagado y guardado. Atención, no escriba en los recuadros sombreados. Son espacios reservados para la calificación de las tareas.
Task 1. Listen to 6 news stories from the BBC. Match each news story 1 to 6 to the most suitable phrase A to J. There are 3 phrases that you do not need. Write your answers in the table provided. News story 0 is an example. Now you have 1 minute to read the task. Example.
Climate change is a global problem that will require a global solution, but not all countries carry equal responsibilities. The world's biggest emitters can make the biggest difference, because over half of CO2 emissions come from 4 territories: China, the US, India, and Europe. The EU's 27 member states, along with the UK, produce more than 7% of all CO2. And for the latest in this series, let's consider what the EU is doing about that.
One.
Temperatures in some areas of Spain are expected to hit or remain around 43 degrees Celsius this week as a sweltering heatwave continues to hang over the country. The soaring temperatures have caused the authorities to put many areas of the country on alert due to the risk of wildfires. Marco Bell reports.
In the region of Extremadura, more than 100 schools have reduced their hours due to the heatwave so that children can go home at midday.
Two.
In the north of Greenland, people have lived and thrived in one of the world's toughest environments. For local communities, climate change feels close to home, as Adrienne Murray reports from the Arctic coastal town of Ilulissat.
In many ways, Arctic life has become easier. It's possible to fish year-round, and Ilulissat is booming. However, this month, Greenland's ice sheet saw unseasonable melting. A group of climate scientists warned that major sea level rise is inevitable.
Three.
Almost wherever you go in the world, it seems you can find throwaway plastic water bottles. Most of them only ever get used once before becoming a major environmental problem. Now, Scotland, which was host to last year's COP26 climate conference, is changing the law to tackle the problem. From June, it will ban single-use plastics, not just bottles, but also cutlery and fast food containers made from polystyrene.
Hundreds of millions of items of polluting plastic that can only be used once are about to be banned for good.
Four.
Several communities have been ordered to evacuate, including some in the state capital, Melbourne. Floods have swamped roads, forced school closures, and cut power to 3,000 houses and businesses. Hundreds of properties have been inundated, with rescue teams racing to reach those in urgent need to leave. In some areas, the only way to get around is by boat.
Five.
There's a desperate plea for global support. Governments, businesses and the public must take action to reverse the destruction of biodiversity. Sean Dilley reports.
The charity's latest Living Planet report warns that global wildlife populations have fallen by nearly 70% in around 50 years. The most impacted species live here in Latin America and the Amazon, where deforestation is destroying trees and the species who rely on them to sustain life.
Six.
The problem of plastic pollution in the seas is well known, but new research has suggested that there could be many more tiny particles of the waste floating just beneath the surface of the Atlantic Ocean than scientists had realised. The findings, based on an analysis of samples and on computer modelling, highlight the largely invisible scale of the pollution clogging the world's second largest ocean.
Listen again. Example.
Climate change is a global problem that will require a global solution, but not all countries carry equal responsibilities. The world's biggest emitters can make the biggest difference, because over half of CO2 emissions come from four territories: China, the US, India, and Europe. The EU's 27 member states, along with the UK, produce more than 7% of all CO2. And for the latest in this series, let's consider what the EU is doing about that.
One.
Temperatures in some areas of Spain are expected to hit or remain around 43 degrees Celsius this week as a sweltering heatwave continues to hang over the country. The soaring temperatures have caused the authorities to put many areas of the country on alert due to the risk of wildfires. Marco Bell reports.
In the region of Extremadura, more than 100 schools have reduced their hours due to the heatwave so that children can go home at midday.
Two.
In the north of Greenland, people have lived and thrived in one of the world's toughest environments. For local communities, climate change feels close to home, as Adrienne Murray reports from the Arctic coastal town of Ilulissat.
In many ways, Arctic life has become easier. It's possible to fish year-round, and Ilulissat is booming. However, this month, Greenland's ice sheet saw unseasonable melting. A group of climate scientists warned that major sea level rise is inevitable.
Three.
Almost wherever you go in the world, it seems you can find throwaway plastic water bottles. Most of them only ever get used once before becoming a major environmental problem. Now, Scotland, which was host to last year's COP26 climate conference, is changing the law to tackle the problem. From June, it will ban single-use plastics, not just bottles, but also cutlery and fast food containers made from polystyrene.
Hundreds of millions of items of polluting plastic that can only be used once are about to be banned for good.
Four.
Several communities have been ordered to evacuate, including some in the state capital, Melbourne. Floods have swamped roads, forced school closures, and cut power to 3,000 houses and businesses. Hundreds of properties have been inundated, with rescue teams racing to reach those in urgent need to leave. In some areas, the only way to get around is by boat.
Five.
There's a desperate plea for global support. Governments, businesses and the public must take action to reverse the destruction of biodiversity. Sean Dilley reports.
The charity's latest Living Planet report warns that global wildlife populations have fallen by nearly 70% in around 50 years. The most impacted species live here in Latin America and the Amazon, where deforestation is destroying trees and the species who rely on them to sustain life.
Six.
The problem of plastic pollution in the seas is well known, but new research has suggested that there could be many more tiny particles of the waste floating just beneath the surface of the Atlantic Ocean than scientists had realised. The findings, based on an analysis of samples and on computer modelling, highlight the largely invisible scale of the pollution clogging the world's second largest ocean.
This is the end of task one. Now turn to task two. Task two. Listen to an interview with a doctor about the benefits of learning new skills. For sentences 1 to 8, choose the best option A, B or C. Write your answers in the table provided. Sentence 0 is an example. Now you have 2 minutes to read the task.
We'd all like some quick and simple ways to improve our health, but we're bombarded with often conflicting advice. So, if you were going to do just one thing to improve your mental and physical well-being, what should it be? Maybe a few squats to enhance your brain, or more bacteria to improve your mood, or even a cold shower to boost your immune system. I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and this is Just One Thing, where we'll explore one thing you can start doing tomorrow to improve your health or life in ways you might not expect. During the first lockdown, many of us decided to pick up new hobbies, like drawing, knitting, or making sourdough bread. If you did, then you will be delighted to know that there are benefits to learning something new that go beyond simply staving off boredom. There is evidence that learning new skills will give your brain a really good workout in ways that are measurable. Not all new hobbies are equally beneficial. If you really want to keep your brain in good shape, you need to do something that's a bit more demanding than baking biscuits. Taking up a new hobby or learning a new skill can be hugely beneficial, both for the way you feel and the way you think. When you're stressed, taking on something new may be the last thing you want to do. But studies have shown that learning something new can actually reduce your stress levels. In fact, in one study where participants were asked to learn something new or do something relaxing, it turned out it was the group who were asked to learn something new who saw the biggest reductions in levels of stress. Doing something that absorbs you and gets you concentrating in the present moment can have similar benefits to practicing mindfulness. This is called flow. Our nervous system is only capable of processing a limited amount of information at a time. So when you're fully absorbed in something, it effectively kind of pauses the outside world. And the effects of flow are similar to those of meditation, calming the fight-or-flight response that keeps our bodies in a constant state of stress. And if that wasn't enough, when you're doing a hobby you enjoy, your brain releases a chemical called dopamine, our natural antidepressant. And it's not just your mental health. Learning something new can change the way you think as well as how you feel. Learning a new skill is an excellent workout for your brain. It forges new brain pathways which help grow new brain connections, literally boosting your brain power. Learning any new skill can do this, whether it is drawing or knitting. But one of the best things you can do for your brain is learn a new language. Language learning engages an extensive brain network, and juggling between different sounds, words, concepts, and grammatical and social rules enhances blood flow and connections across the entire brain. Studies have shown it literally changes your brain, boosting both the number of nerve cells and the connections between them. It can even improve your intelligence, but only, unfortunately, if you practice your new language for at least 5 hours a week.
Listen again.
We'd all like some quick and simple ways to improve our health, but we're bombarded with often conflicting advice. So, if you were going to do just one thing to improve your mental and physical well-being, what should it be? Maybe a few squats to enhance your brain, or more bacteria to improve your mood, or even a cold shower to boost your immune system. I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and this is Just One Thing, where we'll explore one thing you can start doing tomorrow to improve your health or life in ways you might not expect. During the first lockdown, many of us decided to pick up new hobbies, like drawing, knitting, or making sourdough bread. If you did, then you will be delighted to know that there are benefits to learning something new that go beyond simply staving off boredom. There is evidence that learning new skills will give your brain a really good workout in ways that are measurable. Not all new hobbies are equally beneficial. If you really want to keep your brain in good shape, you need to do something that's a bit more demanding than baking biscuits. Taking up a new hobby or learning a new skill can be hugely beneficial, both for the way you feel and the way you think. When you're stressed, taking on something new may be the last thing you want to do. But studies have shown that learning something new can actually reduce your stress levels. In fact, in one study where participants were asked to learn something new or do something relaxing, it turned out it was the group who were asked to learn something new who saw the biggest reductions in levels of stress. Doing something that absorbs you and gets you concentrating in the present moment can have similar benefits to practicing mindfulness. This is called flow. Our nervous system is only capable of processing a limited amount of information at a time. So when you're fully absorbed in something, it effectively kind of pauses the outside world. And the effects of flow are similar to those of meditation, calming the fight-or-flight response that keeps our bodies in a constant state of stress. And if that wasn't enough, when you're doing a hobby you enjoy, your brain releases a chemical called dopamine, our natural antidepressant. And it's not just your mental health. Learning something new can change the way you think, as well as how you feel. Learning a new skill is an excellent workout for your brain. It forges new brain pathways which help grow new brain connections, literally boosting your brain power. Learning any new skill can do this, whether it is drawing or knitting. But one of the best things you can do for your brain is learn a new language. Language learning engages an extensive brain network, and juggling between different sounds, words, concepts, and grammatical and social rules enhances blood flow and connections across the entire brain. Studies have shown it literally changes your brain, boosting both the number of nerve cells and the connections between them. It can even improve your intelligence, but only, unfortunately, if you practice your new language for at least 5 hours a week.
This is the end of task 2. Now turn to task 3. Task 3. Listen to an extract from an interview about holiday travel. Decide if the sentences 1 to 11 are true or false according to the interview. Write your answers T, true, or F, false in the table provided. Sentence 0 is an example. Now you have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the task.
So are you traveling this week? If you are, I mean, honestly, it might be a little rough.
I have learned from years of travel, the absolute worst time to travel is during the holidays.
Benet Wilson is a freelance aviation journalist in San Antonio. Wilson travels a lot, takes about 35 to 50 flights a year. And she's got some tips for you on what to do when you're traveling for the holidays and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Okay, first things first. Some people haven't booked flights yet for the holidays. What is the cheapest time to do that?
Sooner rather than later. The ideal days to buy tickets are usually Tuesdays and Wednesdays because changes are made on fares. Tuesdays and Wednesdays seems to be that sweet spot for getting the best fares.
Do you have any advice on whether it's best to establish some kind of loyalty plan with one airline or just to fly with whichever is cheapest for the holidays?
Well, for me, I prefer to have status with at least one airline because most importantly, when there is an issue, I can call a special hotline to get my issues resolved. If you don't have status, you can be on the phone for hours depending on what's going on.
Okay, I want to pivot now to the day of and some of the mishaps that can come up when you're traveling for the holidays. What do you do if, you know, it starts snowing and your flight is delayed?
Okay, as soon as you find out, I always tell people to make sure they have the airline app on their phone because you get information on there sometimes quicker than the gate agents will get. So look at the app and then they will offer you the chance to reschedule your flight. Whatever you do, do not stand in the long line. Either use the app or just call the airline directly. Some airlines will proactively rebook you, but if it's something that doesn't work for you, you should definitely call.
Okay. What do you do if your plane is overbooked?
This is that time of year. Overbooking, they're always going to ask for volunteers first. And then as a volunteer, you will get a voucher if you've got the flexibility. The more crowded the planes are, the higher that voucher is going to be. So you can negotiate that. You can say, well, if I'm going on this flight, I would like a first class seat or at least premium economy. You ask for food vouchers, $25, $30, you know. If it is a long layover, you can ask for access to the airline lounge, which is very nice. It's very comfortable, great seats, food, drink, everything you would want to be comfortable until your flight departs. But if you are involuntarily bumped, you do have some rights. Number one, you can get your money back. You do not have to take a voucher. And they have to accommodate you on the next available flight. It's kind of a pain, but, you know, you do have rights if you're being kicked off. And you're much more likely to be bumped if you paid less for your ticket or you don't have status with the airline.
So what language would you use as you're trying to negotiate these things?
I would say, okay, I'm here to volunteer to be bumped, and they've set a price. Let's say they've said 500, but I think 500's a little low. Could we go up to 750 or maybe even 1,000? All they can do is say no. My grandmother says closed mouths don't get fed. So if you don't ask the question, you're not going to get it.
Now I'm going to try it. Never tried something like that.
All they can do is say no.
What should you do if you miss your flight? What are your options?
If you miss your flight during the holidays, you are going to have to throw yourself on the mercy of the gate agent or the ticket agent. This is not the time of year that you want to miss a flight, but stuff happens and airlines are pretty forgiving about it. You know, if you are in the car and you know you're going to miss your flight, get on the phone, call the airline while you're still driving so you can get other accommodations. If you get there and you know that, oh, I thought I was going to make it, but I didn't, go to the ticket counter and just explain the situation and they will try to accommodate you as much as possible.
So I was wondering, if you do miss your flight, are you going to have to pay for a whole other flight?
It really depends on the airline. Some will raise the price, but they really, I will say, they really do try to accommodate you as much as possible. Now, if you are on a low fare carrier, it's going to be a little tougher because, you know, they don't have the big schedules like the major airlines do. And, you know, one delay or cancellation can really affect everything going down the line. So, you know, just keep that in mind and make sure that you can be flexible.
Listen again.
So are you traveling this week? If you are, I mean, honestly, it might be a little rough.
I have learned from years of travel, the absolute worst time to travel is during the holidays.
Bene Wilson is a freelance aviation journalist in San Antonio. Wilson travels a lot, takes about 35 to 50 flights a year. And she's got some tips for you on what to do when you're traveling for the holidays and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Okay, first things first. Some people haven't booked flights yet for the holidays. What is the cheapest time to do that?
Sooner rather than later. The ideal days to buy tickets are usually Tuesdays and Wednesdays because changes are made on fares. Tuesdays and Wednesdays seems to be that sweet spot for getting the best fares.
Do you have any advice on whether it's best to establish some kind of loyalty plan with one airline or just to fly with whichever is cheapest for the holidays?
Well, for me, I prefer to have status with at least one airline because most importantly, when there is an issue, I can call a special hotline to get my issues resolved. If you don't have status, you can be on the phone for hours depending on what's going on.
Okay, I want to pivot now to the day of and some of the mishaps that can come up when you're traveling for the holidays. What do you do if, you know, it starts snowing and your flight is delayed?
Okay, as soon as you find out, I always tell people to make sure they have the airline app on their phone because you get information on there sometimes quicker than the gate agents will get. So look at the app and then they will offer you the chance to reschedule your flight. Whatever you do, do not stand in the long line. Either use the app or just call the airline directly. Some airlines will proactively rebook you, but if it's something that doesn't work for you, you should definitely call.
Okay. What do you do if your plane is overbooked?
This is that time of year. Overbooking, they're always going to ask for volunteers first. And then as a volunteer, you will get a voucher if you've got the flexibility. The more crowded the planes are, the higher that voucher is going to be. So you can negotiate that. You can say, well, if I'm going on this flight, I would like a first class seat or at least premium economy. You ask for food vouchers, $25, $30, you know. If it is a long layover, you can ask for access to the airline lounge, which is very nice. It's very comfortable. Great seats, food, drink, everything you would want to be comfortable until your flight departs. But if you are involuntarily bumped, you do have some rights. Number one, you can get your money back. You do not have to take a voucher. And they have to accommodate you on the next available flight. It's kind of a pain, but you know, you do have rights if you're being kicked off. And you're much more likely to be bumped if you paid less for your ticket or you don't have status with the airline.
So what language would you use as you're trying to negotiate these things?
I would say, okay, I'm here to volunteer to be bumped, and they've set a price. Let's say they've said 500. But I think 500's a little low. Could we go up to 750 or maybe even 1,000? All they can do is say no. My grandmother says closed mouths don't get fed. So if you don't ask the question, you're not going to get it.
Now I'm going to try it. Never tried something like that.
All they can do is say no.
What should you do if you miss your flight? What are your options?
If you miss your flight during the holidays, you are going to have to throw yourself on the mercy of the gate agent or the ticket agent. This is not the time of year that you want to miss a flight, but stuff happens and airlines are pretty forgiving about it. If you are in the car and you know you're going to miss your flight, get on the phone, call the airline while you're still driving so you can get other accommodations. If you get there and you know that, oh, I thought I was going to make it, but I didn't, go to the ticket counter and just explain the situation and they will try to accommodate you as much as possible.
So I was wondering, if you do miss your flight, are you going to have to pay for a whole other flight?
It really depends on the airline. Some will raise the price, but they really do try to accommodate you as much as possible. Now, if you are on a low fare carrier, it's going to be a little tougher because, you know, they don't have the big schedules like the major airlines do. And, you know, one delay or cancellation can really affect everything going down the line. So, you know, just keep that in mind and make sure that you can be flexible.
This is the end of task 3 and the end of the listening test.